Welcome to day 222 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and I'm happy that you've joined me again today as we make our way through the Word of God. This week we are reading from the Amplified Bible, and today we will cover Jeremiah chapters 10 through 13. So beginning at Jeremiah chapter 10, we will start at verse 1. Hear the word which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen nations, and be not dismayed at the signs of the heavens, though they are dismayed at them. For the customs and ordinances of the people are false, empty, and futile. It is but a tree which one cuts out of the forest to make for himself a god, the work of the hands of the craftsman with the axe or other tool. They deck the idol with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers so it will not fall apart or move around. Their idols are like pillars of turned work, as upright and stationary and immobile as a palm tree, like scarecrows in a cucumber field. They cannot speak. They have to be carried, for they cannot walk. Do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither is it possible for them to do good, and it is not in them. None at all is like you, O Lord. You are great, and your name is great in might. Who would not fear you, O King of the nations? For it is fitting to you and your due. For among all the wise men or gods of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like you. But they are altogether irrational and stupid and foolish. Their instruction is given by idols who are but wood. It is a teaching of falsity, emptiness, futility. Silver beaten into plates is brought from Tarshish and gold from Uphaz, the work of the craftsmen and of the hands of the goldsmith. The idol's clothing is violet and purple. They are all the work of skillful men. But the Lord is the true God and the God of truth, the God who is truth. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth quakes, and the nations are not able to bear his indignation. Thus shall you say to them, the gods who did not make the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. God made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding and skill stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes lightnings for the rain and brings forth the wind from his treasuries and from his storehouses. Every man has become like a brute, irrational and stupid, without knowledge of God. Every goldsmith is brought to shame by his graven idols, for his molten images are frauds and falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are devoid of worth, usefulness, or truth, a work of delusion and mockery. In their time of trial and punishment, they shall helplessly perish. The portion of Jacob, the true God on whom Israel has a claim, is not like these. For he is the fashioner and maker of all things, and Israel is the tribe of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Gather up your bundle of baggage from the ground, O you who dwell under siege. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will sling out of the inhabitants of the land at this time and will bring distress on them, that they may feel it and find it to be as I have said, and turn to me. Woe is me because of my hurt, says Jeremiah, speaking for the nation. My wound is grievous and incurable. But I said, surely this sickness and suffering and grief are mine, and I must endure, tolerate, and bear them. My tent home is taken by force and plundered, and all my tent cords are broken. My children have gone forth as captives from me, and they are no more. And there is no one to stretch forth my tent any more, and to set up my tent curtains. For the shepherds of the people have become like brutes, irrational and stupid, and have not sought the Lord or inquired of him or required him by necessity and by right of his word. Therefore they have not dealt prudently and have not prospered, and all their flocks are scattered. Hark, the sound of a rumor. The invading army comes, a great commotion out of the north country, to make the cities of Judah a desolation, a dwelling place of jackals. O Lord, pleads Jeremiah in the name of the people, I know that the determination of the way of a man is not in himself. It is not in man, even in a strong man or in a man at his best, to direct his own steps. O Lord, correct, instruct, and chastise me, but with judgment and in just measure, not in your anger, lest you diminish me and bring me to nothing. Pour out your wrath upon the nations that do not know or recognize you, and upon the peoples that do not call upon your name. For they have devoured Jacob, yes, devoured him and consumed him, and made his habitation a desolate waste. Chapter 11. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Hear the words of this covenant, or solemn pledge, and speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Say to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Cursed is the man who does not heed the words of this covenant or solemn pledge, which I commanded your fathers at the time that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, Listen to my voice, and do according to all that I command you. So will you be my people, and I will be your God, that I may perform the oath which I swore to your fathers, to give them a land flowing with milk and honey as it is this day. Then I answered, Amen, so be it, O Lord. And the Lord said to me, Proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. Hear the words of this covenant or solemn pledge and do them. For I earnestly protested to and warned your fathers at the time that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt, even to this day, protesting to and warning them persistently, saying, Obey my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear to me, but everyone walked in the stubbornness of his own evil heart. Therefore I brought upon them all the calamities threatened in the words of this covenant or solemn pledge, which I had commanded, but they did not do. And the Lord said to me, A conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They have turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, who have refused to hear my words. They have gone after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant or solemn pledge, which I made with their fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Behold, I am bringing evil and calamity upon them which they will not be able to escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods to whom they offer incense, but they cannot save them at all in the time of their evil trouble. For as many as the number of your cities are your gods, O Judah, and as many as the number of the streets of Jerusalem are the altars you have set up to the shameful thing, even altars to burn incense to Baal. Therefore do not pray for this people, or lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not listen when they cry out to me in the time of their evil trouble. What right has my beloved to be in my house when she has wrought lewdness and done treacherously many times? Can vows and the holy flesh of your sacrifices remove from you your wickedness and avert your calamity? Can you by these escape your doom and rejoice exultantly? The Lord acknowledged you once to be worthy to be called a green olive tree, fair and of good fruit. But with the roar of a tempest, he will set fire to it, and its branches will be consumed. For the Lord of hosts, who planted you, has pronounced evil and calamity against you because of the evil which the house of Israel and the house of Judah have done against themselves in provoking me to anger by offering incense to Baal. And the Lord gave me, Jeremiah, knowledge of it, their plot, and I knew it. Then you, O Lord, showed me their doings. But I was like a tame lamb that is brought to the slaughter. I did not know that they had devised inventions and schemes against me, saying, "Let us destroy the tree with its fruit. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered." But, O Lord of hosts, who judges rightly and justly, who tests the hearts and the minds, let me see your vengeance on them, for to you I have revealed and committed my cause, rolling it upon you. Therefore, thus says the Lord about the men of Anathoth, Jeremiah's hometown, who seek your life, Jeremiah, and say, "Prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that you die not by our hands." Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will punish them. Their young men will die by the sword, and their sons and their daughters will die by famine. And there will be no remnant of the conspirators left, for I will bring evil and calamity upon the men of Anathoth in the year of their punishment. Chapter 12. Uncompromisingly righteous and rigidly just are you, O Lord, when I complain against and contend with you. You let me plead and reason the case with you. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are all they at ease and thriving who deal very treacherously and deceitfully? You have planted them, yes, they have taken root. They grow, yes, they bring forth fruit. You are near in their mouths, but far from their hearts. But you, O Lord, know and understand me and my devotion to you. You see me and try my heart toward you. O Lord, pull these rebellious ones out like sheep for the slaughter, and devote and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long must the land mourn and the grass and herbs of the whole country wither? Through the wickedness of those who dwell in it, the beasts and the birds are consumed and are swept away by the drought, because men mocked me, saying, "He shall not live to see our final end." But the Lord rebukes Jeremiah's impatience, saying, "If you have raced with men on foot and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? And if you take to flight in a land of peace where you feel secure, then what will you do when you tread the tangled maze of jungle haunted by lions in the swelling and flooding of the Jordan? For even your brethren in the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yes, even they are like a pack of hounds in full cry after you. Believe them not, though they speak fair words and promise good things to you. I have forsaken my house. I have cut off my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my life into the hands of her enemies. My heritage has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has uttered her voice against me. Therefore, I have treated her as if I hated her. Is my heritage to me like a speckled bird of prey? Are the birds of prey against her round about? Go, assemble all the wild beasts of the field. Bring them to devour. Many shepherds of an invading host have destroyed my vineyard. They have trampled my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it a desolation, and desolate it mourns before me. The whole land has been made desolate, but no man lays it to heart. Destroyers have come upon all the bare heights in the desert, for the sword of the Lord devours from one end of the land even to the other. No flesh has peace or can find the means to escape. They have sown wheat, but have reaped thorns. They have worn themselves out, but without profit. And they have been ashamed of your lack of harvests and revenues because of the fierce and glowing anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, against all my evil neighbor nations who touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them up from their land, and I will pluck up the house of Judah from among them. And after I have plucked them up, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them back again, every man to his heritage, and every man to his land. And if these neighbor nations will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, saying, as the Lord lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they will be built up in the midst of my people. But if any nation will not hear and obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, says the Lord. Chapter 13. Thus the Lord said to me, go and buy yourself a linen girdle and put it on your loins, but do not put it in water. So I bought a girdle or waistcloth, according to the word of the Lord, and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, take the girdle which you have bought, which is on your loins, and arise. Go to the river Euphrates and hide it there in a cleft of the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates, as the Lord commanded me. And after many days, the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates, and take from there the girdle, which I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates, and dug, and took the girdle or waistcloth from the place where I had hidden it. Behold, the girdle was decayed and spoiled. It was good for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These evil people who refuse to hear my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts and have gone after other gods to serve them and to worship them, shall even be like this girdle or waistcloth, which is profitable for nothing. For as the girdle clings to the loins of a man, so I caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. But they would not listen or obey. Therefore you shall speak to them this word. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every bottle and jar should be filled with wine. The people will say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle and jar should be filled with wine? Then say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill with drunkenness all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings who sit upon David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity or spare or have compassion, that I should not destroy them. Hear and give ear. Do not be proud, for the Lord has spoken, says Jeremiah. Give glory to the Lord your God before he brings darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark and twilight mountains and before, while you are looking for light, he turns it into the shadow of death and makes it thick darkness. But if you will not hear and obey, I will weep in secret for your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly and run down with tears because the Lord's flock has been taken captive. Say to the king and the queen mother, humble yourselves and take a lowly seat, for down from your head has come your beautiful crown, the crown of your glory. The cities of the south, the Negev, have been shut up, and there is no one to open them. All Judah has been carried away captive. It has been wholly taken captive and into exile. Lift up your eyes and behold those, the eruption of a hostile army, who come from the north. Where is the flock that was given to you to shepherd, your beautiful flock? What will you say, O Jerusalem, when he, the Lord, sets over you as head those tyrannical foreign nations whom you yourselves at intervals have taught to be lovers or allies with you, instructing them, even your friends, to be head over you? Will not pangs take hold of you like that of a woman in travail? And if you say in your heart, why have these things come upon me? The answer is, because the greatness of your iniquity has your long robe been pulled aside, showing you in the garb of a menial, and have you barefooted and treated like a slave, suffered violence. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then also can you do good who are accustomed and taught, even trained, to do evil? Therefore, I will scatter you like chaff driven away by the wind from the desert. This is your lot, the portion measured to you from me, says the Lord, because you have forgotten me and trusted in falsehood, false gods and alliances with idolatrous nations. Therefore, I myself will retaliate, throwing your skirts up over your face, that your shame of being clad like a slave may be exposed. I have seen your detestable acts, even your adulteries and your lustful neighings after idols, and the lewdness of your harlotry on the hills and the field. Woe to you, O Jerusalem! For how long a time yet will you not meet my conditions and be made clean? This is the end of today's scripture reading. For today's devotional, I want to focus on the two object lessons that are found here in the 13th chapter of Jeremiah. Now, the book of Jeremiah is actually filled with 12 different object lessons throughout the chapters. We heard the first two in the very first chapter, and if you'll remember, it was the picture of the almond rod and the boiling cauldron. And today, in the 13th chapter, we found two object lessons used by the prophet Jeremiah to illustrate a spiritual truth. And that's what an object lesson is. A natural item or object is used as an illustration or a picture of a spiritual or supernatural truth that the speaker, in this case Jeremiah, speaking as God's messenger, uses to give a visual picture of a spiritual truth. And so today we'll listen to the two that we find in the 13th chapter. The very first one was something that God told Jeremiah to do as a picture to illustrate something that God wanted to speak to the people of Israel about. In the 13th chapter, it starts out this way. Thus the Lord said to me, go and buy yourself a linen girdle and put it on your loins, but do not put it in water. So I bought a girdle or waistcloth according to the word of the Lord and put it on my loins. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, take the girdle which you have bought, which is on your loins, and arise, go to the river Euphrates and hide it there in a cleft of the rock. So I went and hid it by the Euphrates as the Lord commanded me. And after many days, the Lord said to me, arise, go to the Euphrates and take from there the girdle which I commanded you to hide there. Then I went to the Euphrates and dug and took the girdle or waistcloth from the place where I had hidden it. And behold, the girdle was decayed and spoiled. It was good for nothing. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, thus says the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. These evil people who refuse to hear my words, who walk in the stubbornness of their hearts and have gone after other gods to serve them and worship them, shall even be like this girdle or waistcloth, which is profitable for nothing. So we find here both the object lesson that God instructs Jeremiah to demonstrate in front of the people, and then also in the text, we are given the explanation of the object lesson and what it means. So this is an interesting picture because God is speaking to the people of Israel, and he's trying to show them essentially what has become of them, what they have become. So let's dig a little deeper into this object lesson to try to give an explanation. Here is what God tells them. Go and buy a linen girdle or waist cloth and put it on your body. The first thing I want to explain about this is that the girdle or waist cloth that's mentioned here in Jeremiah 13 is some type of clothing that was common in the time in which this was written. The scholars of the Bible debate whether it was underclothing that was worn against the skin or whether it was a piece of outer clothing, and they have their reasons for both. But regardless of which it was, the idea is that it symbolized that the people of Israel were like this piece of clothing that God took to himself and placed upon himself. So imagine that God took the people and clothed himself with them. And the idea being that God brought the people of Israel close to himself in relationship with him. And the purpose for that was explained in verse 11 of chapter 13. It says, "For as the girdle clings to the loins of a man, so I caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they might be for me a people, a name, a praise, and a glory. But they would not listen or obey." So God explains the purpose, that he brought the people of Israel, the people that he had called by his very own name, and he drew them close to God so that they would cling to the Lord. And his purpose in that was to make them a praise and a glory to his name. So if you accepted the Bible scholars who explain that the piece of clothing that the prophet was to take and place on his own body was a piece of outer clothing, then it would be something like a sash or a waist cloth, as it's mentioned here in the Amplified translation, that perhaps an officer would wear, and it would be a sign of glory, so to speak, or something that a member of royalty would wear on their clothing, and it distinguished them as being an important person. So you could say that if that was the accurate version, that God had placed the people of Israel upon his own body, so to speak, like a garment placed upon royalty that was to show glory or praise to the name of that person, and in this case it would be the Lord. So God's intention for his people of Israel then and his people who follow him today is that he draw the person close to himself, he place them literally as a display of glory to the name of God. And that's the purpose for which God called you and me to himself, that we might bring praise and glory and honor to the Lord, and that literally God could wear us as a garment that is on display for the world to see. And so that is why the Lord had the prophet Jeremiah use this object lesson. He had him go buy this garment, place it on his own body, wear it for a while, and then one day he had the prophet take that garment, go to the Euphrates River, and hide it in the cleft of a rock. And then he had him return after a while, dig that thing out of the place where he had hidden it, and behold, the girdle or the piece of clothing was decayed and spoiled. It was good for nothing. The object lesson, the symbolism of this object lesson, the representation and the explanation of it is very simply this. God himself said, these evil people who refuse to hear my words will be like that piece of clothing which is profitable for nothing. And so the idea was that God had taken these people, drawn them close to himself, made them for the purpose to be a praise and a glory in the earth that would glorify God. And yet the people didn't listen to God, did not follow the ways of God, and instead allowed the earth, the worldliness, the people around them to contaminate them, and they became decayed and spoiled and good for nothing. If you took a piece of cloth and hid it in a cleft of a rock in the dirt, and left it there for some period of time and came back to it like the prophet did, you would find that it had rotted from the moisture, from the earth, from the dirt. And that was essentially the picture that this illustration or object lesson gave. The people of Israel had allowed themselves, instead of staying close to the heart of God, listening to His word, obeying His word, they had allowed, even though they knew God, they knew who the true God was, they had been in relationship with Him at a certain point in their lives, they had allowed the worldliness around them, the people of the heathen nations around them to start influencing them to the point where they started giving in to the pressure of the society that surrounded them, and they became contaminated, polluted by the worldliness, the idolatry, the false religion in the area, to affect them more than the word of God affected them, to the point where they became good for nothing as far as God was concerned. They no longer glorified the Lord as the one true God. Their lives didn't reflect the relationship that God had offered to them. And so they literally became contaminated, polluted, rotting in their own lives. And that was what the purpose of this object lesson was, to show the people of Israel, look, this is what you've become. And yet it wasn't the purpose for which God had called them into relationship with Him. We have the same situation happening in the world today also. Many people who have at one point heard the voice of the Lord call to them to draw them into close relationship with Him, as time has gone by, they have allowed the worldliness that surrounds them, the influences of that world that doesn't honor God, that doesn't love God, that doesn't obey God, or even have any value whatsoever for the Word of God, to influence them more than God's Word and God's ways influence them, to the point where their lives no longer give any glory to God. They don't reflect the relationship with God, and they've become polluted, contaminated, very unclean, just like the world around them. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 27, we find a very profound verse, and it's the verse that says, true religion that is pure and acceptable in the sight of God the Father is this. And many times we focus on just the first part, to visit and help and care for orphans and widows in their affliction. And that is very powerful, and it's very important that we do that. I believe in that with all of my heart, because we have established an orphanage, or this ministry has established an orphanage, and we continue to minister and care for orphans in their affliction and need. But the second part of the verse says, and to keep oneself unspotted and uncontaminated from the world. That's the amplified version. Unspotted, you could say undefiled, unpolluted, uncontaminated from the world that surrounds us. And that is exactly what happened in Jeremiah's day. The people who had once been in relationship with God allowed themselves to become contaminated by the unclean, ungodly, worldly influences around them, to where they became so totally like the culture around them. Instead of they affect the culture affected them. That I see all around us today in churches all around the world, where yes, people go to church on Sunday, perhaps, maybe once a month, maybe twice a month, maybe every Sunday, whatever. But their lives reflect no glory to God. The people's lives look just like the world. They don't affect the world, they are affected by the world. It is a sad statement in the United States that the divorce rate in churches is at least as high as the divorce rate in the world of people who do not walk with God, and sometimes the ones inside the church are higher. The percent of divorces is actually higher among professed Christians than it is in the non-Christian society that we live in. And that is a very sad statement, that we've become contaminated by the world so that we don't reflect any glory or praise to the Lord in our lives, because our lives look just like the rest of the world. There's not much distinction. And that is not what God ever intended when He drew us into relationship with Himself. It wasn't just to have a mental agreement that there is a God that exists, and we acknowledge that, but it was to let God's life and light and His word absolutely invade our entire lives, so that our lives begin to be a reflection of God, His ways, His word, His spirit, His very life, and so that our life looks like His life. That was intent of God in the day of Jeremiah with His people Israel, and it's God's intention today with those people who have joined themselves to the Lord God through relationship with Jesus Christ. So this object lesson in the book of Jeremiah spoke to the people of his day, but it still speaks to us today. And then the second object lesson I'll just touch on briefly, and it's the lesson that could be called the object lesson of the filled wine bottle. It says here in Jeremiah 13, verses 12 and 13, "Therefore you shall speak to them this word, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every bottle and jar should be filled with wine. The people will say to you, do we not certainly know that every bottle and jar should be filled with wine? Then say to them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill with drunkenness all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings who sit upon David's throne, the priests, the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity or spare or have compassion that I should not destroy them." What would this possibly mean? Well, first of all, in that time, drunkenness was quite a pursuit, you could say, of the people. In fact, throughout the prophets, both Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, and even Micah made reference to the fact that the people of Israel loved drunkenness, that they pursued it. So what God is saying here is that one of the judgments of the wrath of God was that all the people were going to be like drunken men. And if you think about a drunken person, someone who's really drunk or filled with drunkenness, as verse 13 said, it's basically both a rebuke on their pursuit of indulging in drunkenness, but mostly it's a statement about how at the end of the time when the judgment's about to fall, that these people would literally be like drunken people who are confused, they are giddy, they are unable to think straight, they're unable to do what they should do in a time of a calamity or crisis. They not only will not know what to do, they wouldn't be able to do it if they knew how to do it. A drunken person can't make a wise decision, can't even walk straight, and then they fall into slumber and they're utterly unable to help themselves, let alone help anybody else. So you think about somebody in that condition being suddenly faced with calamity. And in this particular case, imagine an enemy army invading the country to take everybody captive, and people who are so spiritually devastated, in such a state that they're like drunken people. They don't know what to do. They don't know what decision to make. They don't know how to resist somebody who's coming against them, because they fall into such a low spiritual state, such as a drunken person is in the natural state, that they will be easily carried away captive. And this picture of a drunken person so filled with wine, and it's the object lesson is every vessel will be filled with wine, and it's sort of a proverb in that time that somebody who was filled with wine was somebody who was so totally drunk they couldn't function. And the prophet is telling the people they've become that in the spiritual sense, that they are unable to function. when they should have been wise and known God and known what to do when a crisis came upon the country, they won't even know what to do and they'll be able to be carried off so easily. And that is exactly what ended up happening to the nation of Israel in the time of Jeremiah the prophet. He was prophesying that this was coming if they didn't turn back to the Lord, but it came to pass because they did not respond to his prophetic warnings, and they were indeed carried off as a nation to Babylon and were in captivity for so many years. And so these two object lessons brought by the prophet Jeremiah were brought to them with the intent of trying to turn the people back to the Lord. And I think we need to take this to heart today in our time, because certainly the enemy of our soul, Satan, would love to see us all so contaminated by the world that we make no difference whatsoever to the society around us, but instead we're so inundated or corrupted by the culture that doesn't love or honor or even know God that we become like it. And we can't resist it, we can't help it, we can't guide it, because we're under it ourselves. Let the Lord help us. Ask the Holy Spirit in your own life, is there any area of my life where I've allowed the culture I'm living in, which is anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-purity, anti-everything biblical, have I allowed any part of the ungodly culture that I live in to contaminate me so that I'm more like it than I am like God or His Word? And then ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom to see it and grace to repent and grace to walk in God's way. God wants us to be like a garment that He can wear that brings glory to Himself, instead of like the garment that was spoiled, made rotten, and if it was put upon a person's body, it wouldn't be a praise to the Lord. It would be something that mocked God, really. God wants us to be a praise to His name, showing the world what it's like to be somebody who walks with God. God bless you and give you a victorious week.